Welcome to the Spring 2022. It feels weird to say 2022 CEO Podcast. Joy Heath Rush, welcome.
Hey, Beth Ann, glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I think I have to have you for the CEO one. But I love having you for those because I think they're a really good opportunity for our members to see you, to spend some time with us, and to talk a little bit with us about some things that are changing within the organization, some things that we want to enact in the quarter, and then what we've really done looking back. So first, let's step back together. It's been 2 years of pandemic, really. And it seems, as we come out of Legal Week, out of ABA Tech Show, out of ILTACON, that maybe we're stepping out of that. How do you feel?
Oh, I'm feeling tremendously optimistic. I mean, there's a different feel in the community just from where we were this time last month, much less where we were this time last year. As we record this, Beth Ann, we're coming up on St. Patrick's Day, and at least here in Chicago, where I'm based, that was the first day of lockdown, was St. Patrick's Day 2020. So looking where we are now compared to where we are to where we were 2 years ago, not only is there this incredible sense of optimism, but there is much less fear around in-person gatherings, certainly. And there is this desire, this pent-up desire to be in person, to be shaking people's hands and hugging people, or even just seeing smiles instead of seeing masks. And while the things that we've had to do, you know, over the past 2 years to keep people safe have been tremendously important, I think everyone is looking forward to and feeling confident that we will be able to engage in different ways in the coming weeks and months.
We had to make such a, if I ever use pivot again after this, please strike me down. But we've had to pivot so much over the last 2 years. We pivoted heavily for ILTACON 2021, good pivots and a few bad pivots. There are some missteps for us. And we know that. And as we start to look toward ILTACON 2022, we know that there are some things we want to do before that. So let's talk a little bit about some partner development things that we've changed this year as we've headed into booth lottery. We've done some kind of cool new things. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I think one of the things we've done certainly is kind of, I won't say slowed down the process because that would be a mischaracterization, but we've allocated more time for the process so that we can have more individual conversations. I think there's very much not a one size fits all, I think, in terms of what our business partners want to do coming into ILTACON. I think everyone has learned lessons about digital marketing in the past 2 years. Some of the lessons are, I never, ever want to do digital marketing again. I only ever want to take people out to lunch. But it's saying that, okay, let's allocate a little bit more time for the booth lottery, the discussion of individual opportunities. Are they thought leadership? Are they connections and social responsibility? What are they? And let's allocate the right amount of time for those conversations so they can be truly meaningful and reflect the way that everyone has learned and grown over the past 2 years.
It's been a change for us in the type of programming we're putting out too. We've changed our kind of our meter, if you will. We've put out a lot more just-in-time content, a lot more webinars, a lot more roundtables, more podcasts, shorter articles and blogs. What are you seeing in the marketplace that has dictated that this kind of change is here to stay?
I believe that it's because the just-in-time type programming is much more like being at ILTACON or much more like being at a local meeting. When you're gathering before the meeting starts, maybe you're in line for the buffet lunch or to get your box lunch, and you look at the person next to you and say, hey, how is your summer associate training going? What are you doing that's new for fall associates? And all of a sudden, there's content being made in real time while connections are being made. And I think that that's what a lot of the just-in-time program is about. Just again, today, as we record this, there were a bunch of people having a conversation on one of our communities of interest about deploying Macs on their production networks. And there was so much conversation, I sent out a note and says, hey, do we want to get on a call and talk about this? And we had 22 people. We spent a full hour. We could have gone longer. And people were discussing everything from software distribution to Active Directory to user experience to hardware repair and break and fix. And again, this was content that was being created in real time while people were also making connections so that the next time they have a question about this, they can call someone and say, hey, you had some great things to say on that call about deploying Max. Can I pick your brain about it? And that is tremendously valuable to our members when they're dealing with emergent issues. Now, does that mean that our long articles and our well-prepared webinars and conference sessions? No, it's just the variety. It's having lots of choices on the menu. That's my ILTA. What do I need right this minute?
I know that I share the questions I'm going to ask you, but if you would not use them before we get to the question, because I was going to want to talk a little bit about my ILTA. So let's pop back there. We just talked over the last couple of weeks very heavily about our annual report, and it's going to come out a bit after the spring issue, not too far, just a couple of days, but it has some videos in there and more information about what the state of the organization was in 2021. And we talk a lot in there about my ILTA. You've just touched on one of the core tenets, I think, of my ILTA, that instant community connection where you need it. Do you see that being something that we can continue even after the strategic plan is done?
Yes. In fact, I think it needs to become core to the organization, kind of part of our DNA. And certainly a lot of it already is, but it's bringing it to the forefront and kind of saying it. You know, it's part of us not being prescriptive, but being responsive in a good way. And I like that. I like that a lot, because we recognize that sometimes, you know, I sit in Chicago. I love the opportunity to network with my law firm, business partner, corporate law department colleagues here in Chicago. But equally, I love having the opportunity to sit with the G100 CIOs. You know, I came out of a G100 firm. That's kind of my tribe, so to speak. You know, I grew up in that world. Sometimes that's what is best for me, of what I need at that moment. Sometimes it's I'm trying to solve a particular problem with technology that our members have solved, and I want to be that kind of technology planning person. I want to talk to other people who are planning technology. That's all me, but it's not different facets of my job and my personal and professional development.
Well, it's why we have people like our board, like our PAC, like you, kind of directing the organization in ways that maybe we need more than one hand in at a time. We need that extra boost, and we certainly need those community connections to keep us moving. It's one of the core tenets of ILTA. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just shift slightly for a second, because one of the other core parts of ILTA is making sure that our members are getting recognized along with our partners in special and innovative ways. Since we last sat down in the winter, we've had two sets of awards kind of come out, and I think you won one the other day.
Yeah, I have to. So give me a chance to make a disclaimer here. So you know, and other members of the staff, when reached out and said, hey, you've been nominated for this, I didn't necessarily feel that comfortable about it.
I don't think you answered the email. Like, I think you just tried to ignore
everything. I just pretend that it didn't exist. And then when one of the staff said, it wasn't one person, it wasn't two people, it was multiple people who nominated you. And yeah, it would have been disrespectful for me not to complete the application process. And that was where I came from. But I have to put that disclaimer, because it was a little bit uncomfortable for me. So
yeah, I think our awards are one of those things that we have put so much power into this last year specifically. And it's something we want to continually shift toward. Can you talk to me a little bit about why you think that recognizing specifically women and specifically DEI in tech is so important?
Well, anytime we see progress in traditionally underrepresented and or marginalized groups, it's a reason to celebrate. And, you know, I'm in that camp as I'll be so happy when we no longer are excited about the word first. I think we're about to have our first female African-American Supreme Court justice in the United States. I'll be so happy when we don't need to talk about first. They're all done. They're behind us. And that would be absolutely fantastic. But whenever people succeed against odds, I personally find that very compelling. And when others in the community maybe realize that these odds exist, because I'm not sure people always do, it not only celebrates accomplishments, but it raises awareness so that the accomplishments don't have to be celebrated in that, again, same way, that sense of things being first. I think that's where we all want to be.
I think you're right. And I think it's one of those things where our members come from such diverse backgrounds, such an international background for this last set of influential mm-hmm. women awards, that we have to take a moment to pause and say, wow, check out the community that we built here together. So I think there's some of that as well.
Well, and when we look at our DEI climate survey, so I'll go back to that. I think one of the things that was really great about that was a sense by people in all kinds of different groups that they are well accepted at ILTA and they have an opportunity to succeed at ILTA. And that means we have lots of latitude to make things better, but we also stay the course in terms of how we make people feel that this is a safe place to have conversations, to develop professionally, to ask questions, to take some risks, and to establish a community.
I'll just cut that part where I dropped my AirPod out of my ear. But maybe we should leave that in because I think that that's sort of I'd like an award for that one. I didn't see that happening. But I think there's also something to be said very highly that we've made actionable changes within ILTA because of things like our climate survey. We've just updated heavily our profile section. It's about to go live. And we're asking people to sort of self-nominate in ways that they'd like to be contacted based on their experience and their personal choices. And I think that's a big thing for us.
I do too. And again, it's my ILTA. It's how I want to participate, the kinds of affinity groups that I want to be connected with and the kind of content I want to consume and the way I want to consume it and my leadership opportunities. So yes, it's really just another expression of my ILTA.
Lastly, before we head off into the next peer-to-peer issue, I think there has to be something to said that we are continuing the work we started a year ago now and bringing it much more prevalent to what we're seeing in the marketplace. For example, you started over a year ago tasking us with putting out a travel survey. We've put out 5 iterations. We've just published a blog about what we've seen in the marketplace, and we're about to put another version out there. One of the things that I think is most important about the content we're putting out there is that it's actionable. On April 5th, we're going to sit down with you and several other of our business partners, our members, and SMEs within legal technology and take a state of the union. We haven't really done one of those in a while. Can you talk to me about what you hope that we're going to see there? Because, well, honestly, you're going to write some of those questions.
Note to self.
Yeah.
I will tell you that... I'm gonna kind of go back to the beginning of our conversation here, which is what we've seen over the past 2 years, you know, what's changed in the past 2 years. We have had to focus so much in the past 2 years on the now, right this minute, not even tomorrow, but right this minute, because things were changing so rapidly. And I can remember one of the very first travel surveys we did was in April of 2020, where a large number of organizations that were our members thought they would be back in the office in May of 2020. Then every time there was a date set, something would happen and that date would get pushed and get pushed and get pushed. And so the tenor of the conversation changed to, when will you be back in the office? To what does back in the office look like? And in fact, what does the word office even mean today? I'm looking forward to this future-focused conversation. And it was really interesting because this last week I had the opportunity to keynote at Legal Tech Summit in Sydney. It's a fantastic event. And absolutely. And it's something we've partnered with them on for several iterations. But one of the questions I was asked after the keynote was, what did I think things would look like in 2025? And I said, gosh, it's been so long since I've thought about 2025, you know? And it was nice to be thinking that far ahead. And moving out the planning horizon and anticipating some return to what we would call normal, some return to 2019, but also being able to take all the incredible hard lessons we've learned in the past 2 years and carry them into the future for even greater success. And that just, it absolutely thrills me. And it's also the opportunity to talk about the business of law and access to justice, as well as technology. I mean, one of my favorite comments, you know, recently, the courts in the US, I can't speak to so much outside, have changed more in the past 24 months than probably in the prior 24 years. That will stick. A lot of that will stick, but not all. So it's how much will we go back to 2019 and how much will we carry forward the experiences of 2020 and 21 into the future? I'm really looking forward to that conversation.
Well, we're recording this on the Ides of March, which yep. is always a choice we've made. So hopefully it turns out certainly better than Caesar's, but I would like to think that spring for us is a good stopping point and a good renewal for not only ILTA, but the rest of the world.
Yeah, and I just, again, I think there's so much reason for optimism. Spring is always the season of hope and renewal and optimism. And I think that we have that in abundance. And it's also, this is an opportunity to say, everything we've been through the past 2 years, if we had to go through it, I'm glad we went through it together in terms of being able to support each other, to provide a sounding board, ideas, inspiration, knowing where not to step at times, all of the things that ILTA's trusted resource community does so well.
You have always said, and it's one of my favorite things that you have ever said, that hope is not a strategy. Right. But I think that maybe we can hope for the best now.
Absolutely. And optimism certainly is a strategy.
Let's leave it there. Joy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth Ann.